So let me recall first the basic definitions of last time. So very rapidly. So A is a ring with anti-involution. E was a finely generated projective right A module. Epsilon was plus or minus 1, and what we call an epsilon Hermitian form. Is just given by E and what I call phi or phi tilde, where phi tilde is a map between E and his dual. I don't recall the definition. And this is an isomorphism. We assume that. And moreover, the transpose of phi tilde, which goes from E star star, which is E up to the morphism, to E star, satisfies the condition the transpose of phi is equal to epsilon phi. Sometimes I forget the tilde, okay? You will correct it. Okay. Now, a form phi is called even. If there exists phi naught from E to E star such that phi tilde is phi zero tilde plus epsilon transpose phi zero tilde. This condition might look artificial, but I will see later why it's very important. Okay. Now, this objects, I mean, these elements are the objects of a category. So these are the objects. And the morphisms from E phi to F psi is just given by a linear map from E to F such that the following diagram commutes. So you have E, you have E going to E star, which is given by phi. So sometimes I forget phi tilde, okay, by simplicity. And you have F star, and you have the transpose. So we assume this diagram commutes, okay? And so in other words, you assume that if you compose F by psi by the transpose of F, then you get phi. Another way of saying this is to write the adjoint to be phi inverse transpose of F psi, and this is equivalent to say F is an isomorphism by always by hypothesis, and this condition is equivalent to say that FF star equal F star F equals identity. Okay. And in particular, if you take the automorphism of E phi, this is called the unitary group. Which I also call U of E phi. And sometimes I forget to put an epsilon to remember that we are dealing with epsilon Hermitian forms. Okay. Now, there is an example, a basic example, of epsilon Hermitian module, which is a hyperbolic module. So, what is it? We start with M. which is just a finitely generated projective A module. Sometimes I will forget to say finitely generated projective. Okay, I'll just say A module. Okay, and the idea is to put E equal M plus its dual. Okay, and what you want is a map from E to its dual, phi, from M plus M star to the dual of M plus M star, which is M star plus M up to the morphism. And phi is simply given by the following matrix, 0, 1, epsilon 0. Okay, that's the hyperbolic form. And this is even because we can put phi 0 equals 0, 1, 0, 0. And you can check that phi is the sum of phi 0 plus the transpose of phi 0, epsilon transpose of phi 0. Okay. It is interesting to see what are concretely what is a group of automorphism? What is a unitary group of M plus M star? How can we describe it? Well, it's very easy because any element is given by a matrix. So you write an element F in this group of automorphism as a 2x2 matrix. And if you compute the adjoint with the definitions above, then what you get is the transpose of D, transpose of A, epsilon transpose of B, epsilon transpose of C. So when you have the equations, FF star equals F star F equals identity, then you get 8 equations, which I don't want to write to spare times. And for example, one of them is A epsilon TB plus B TA equals 0, for example. It's just one of them, okay? Plus 7 others. Of course, one has to be careful to put F star equal F star F equals identity, because we are working with non-commutative rings, and one equation, I mean, F star equals identity does not imply that F star F equals identity in general, okay? Except if you are dealing with vector spaces or finite dimensional vector spaces, something like that. Okay, okay, so that's the hyperbolic module. My third point was to introduce something which is more subtle, which is a category of quadratic modules. Oh, sorry, I forgot to say something. Of course, there is some K theory in it. So you can define the set of isomorphism classes of epsilon Hermitian modules is a semigroup by the direct sum of modules. I mean, you define E phi plus F psi to be the direct sum. Okay. And since you have a semigroup, you can associate a group, the associated Grothendieck group, I shall write it as KQ0 epsilon of A. This is the Hermitian K-theory group. Or epsilon Hermitian K group. Okay. No, 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 no. In fact, sometimes if I follow back notation, I also write this as KQ0 max. It has nothing to do with my first name. Okay? Max is for maximum, not for max Caruzzi. Okay? Now this is the terminology of back. And I will introduce another group which I call KQ0 min, which will be slightly different. Okay. To answer the question of Fabien, an example, just one example, I shall give many others later on. If you take for A, B cross the opposite ring, with the obvious involution, which switches the factors, then what you get is very easy to show to be just a K0 usual K0 group of B. Because if you look at the definitions, what you want is given by a module over the product, and that's just given by two modules on B and B opposite, and saying that you have an emission form means that these two modules are essentially isomorphic. Okay, and then the data is just given by a B module, essentially. Okay, that's a very easy exercise. Okay. So we know that in K0 of B, we have no simplification, and therefore in KQ0, we don't have simplification. So you can view Hermitian K theory as kind of generalization of usual K theory if you want. Okay. Now, my third point is to introduce a definition which is due to Titz and Wall, which is more subtle, which is a notion of quadratic module. Now we keep as objects, the objects are now just E and phi zero with the previous notations, and we assume that phi zero plus epsilon transpose of phi zero equal phi is an isomorphism. We call this also a non-degenerate quadratic modules. So that's the object, okay? So you see that for such an object, you can associate an Hermitian form, which is phi. Okay? But what is subtle is the notion of morphisms. So what is a morphism between E phi zero and F phi zero? So it's given by, as before, by a map from E to F, as usual. But you see the diagram on the blackboard on the left, what I was assuming is that the transpose of F psi f was equal to phi, but it is slightly different. I just put phi zero, but that's too rigid, so we have to add something else, which is a correcting term, which I write u minus epsilon tu. So in other words, a morphism is just given by an f plus a correcting term, which I call v, and v is such that there exists a U, such that V equals U minus epsilon TU. A priori, what we can say about V is that transpose of V equals minus epsilon V. Okay? But that's, if you put TV equals minus epsilon V, then you come back to the category of Hermitian module. But if you add this condition, that V is of this type, then you have more morphisms, or you have less morphisms. No. So let's be more precise. A morphism is a pair phi zero. Well, it's given by phi zero is F such that there exists U with U minus epsilon TU equal TF psi zero F minus phi zero. Okay? So morphism is just given by F, but it has some extra property. That's all. Okay? So that's the definition of Titz and Wall, and it's a very interesting exercise to check in the classical case. The classical case is A, the field, not the field magnitude, sorry, field. And you assume that you have a trivial involution And you recover the usual notion of quadratic form by putting Q of x equal phi 0 of xx. Okay. So that's an exercise to check that the definition of tips and walls just generalize the usual definition of a quadratic form of a field. Okay. But since it looks a little bit abstract, let's come back to the example of hyperbolic modules. So it's a basic example again. So let's consider again E equal M plus M star and phi 0 as before 0, 1, 0, 0. Okay. So what should be the group of automorphism of M plus M star? But viewed as a quadratic module. Okay, so what is it? Well, you look at this equation, and you look at the equation which is written on the blackboard, and what you have essentially is the following. You see, here we have 8 equations for the Hermitian module. And one of these equations was this one, for example. Okay. So we had epsilon ATB plus BTA equals 0. Okay, that was for Hermitian case. But in the quadratic case, we have something more slightly stronger. We ask that ATB is U minus epsilon TU. Well, maybe H minus epsilon TH. So that's a quadratic case. Okay. This condition, of course, implies this one, but it's not the reverse. So let me give an example just to see that the groups are really different. Let's take the very simple example where A equals Z with a trivial evolution, and we take just the hyperbolic module Z plus its dual, so which we identify with Z, of course. Okay. And so what is the unitary group of minus 1 of Z2 with the hyperbolic form? You just take the equations and you have the set of matrices A, B, C, D equal M equal F. And what is the adjoint? The adjoint is just dA minus B minus C. And so when you write the equation, what you get is AD minus BC equals 0, equal 1. Okay. So in other words, what you get is just a group SL2Z. Okay. So U minus 1 of Z plus its dual, which is a very funny notation, is just a group SL2Z. Okay. But what is the orthogonal group in this case? Okay. Well, the orthogonal group in this case, well, we ask that ATB is H minus epsilon TH. Okay. Epsilon equal minus 1. I've made a mistake here. Yeah, so... I'm not sure it is minus or plus. Well, I think it's minus, yes, because you have this. Okay. So what we ask is ATB, so which is AB, to be even, and other equations. Okay. So that's not SL2Z. It's a smaller group. Okay. I realize I made a mistake in my notes, because I wrote that ATB equal minus AB, so you have to correct it. Okay. So you have other conditions. So you have a subgroup which I may call QSL2Z, which is a subgroup of SL2Z, okay, which is not the usual SL2Z. So the conditions are stronger, okay, and therefore you get a different group. And the back notation, so again, we can consider the K theory of these quadratic modules, and this is called also KQ0, but with a mean. So let me put the definition. straight. Yeah, for example, to come back to, I was a little bit lazy here. For example, this matrix, 1, 1, 0, 1, belongs to the unitary group, but does not belong to the orthogonal. Okay, because ATB is not even. Okay, that's. Okay, so now, the object of the category of quadratic module form also a semigroup, and the associated Grothendieck group is called KQ0, and then I put a mean according to back terminology. Okay. I'm sorry to use a different subscript, underscript. It should have been better to take KH for Hermitian K theory and KQ for quadratic K theory, but unfortunately KH has a different meaning in K theory. It's homotopy K theory of Weibull. Okay, so I don't want to offend Weibull, so I prefer to use. And this is also compatible with Back's book, which is a reference to the subject. So what I do, what I shall do very often, I will, if a theorem is true in the mean or max category, I will drop the mean and the max. Okay, so when I want to make a difference, then I will tell it. Okay, so this is the category of quadratic modules. And of course, there is a very important remark that if we assume the existence of lambda, such that lambda plus lambda bar equal 1, okay, for example, if 2 is invertible, then the two notions coincide. I mean, the notion of quadratic module or Hermitian module. You just take phi 0 equal lambda phi, for example, and you get the things right. And in particular, KQ0 max is equal to KQ0 min. Okay, so there is no problem for that. So if you are tied by distinguishing two cases, you just assume that. If two is invertible, this makes a lot of simplification, but I would like to make, I don't want to assume two invertible for many reasons. One of them is that these groups are very important in surgery theory, and in surgery theory, you're dealing with group rings over Z, and two is not invertible. Okay, so I would like to avoid as much as possible two invertible. Now, the question you may ask is why we take even forms. Okay. One of the reasons, not the only one, but one of the reasons is a very nice theorem, which is very elementary but fundamental, which is the following. If you have E phi 0, so a quadratic module, but it's also for even Hermitian module, and if you add its opposite module, so in other words, you change the sign of phi 0, then this, as a quadratic module, it is homomorphic to the hyperbolic module. Okay. Where chi 0 was the matrix I defined before. So the proof, in fact, it's difficult to find a reference for this proof. The proof is my lecture one. It's a little bit computational. It's page 10. I don't want to write these matrices. Okay. So if you look at page 10, I hope everyone has a lecture. No? I have some extra copies if you some don't have. Okay. So on page 10, I give an explicit map between these two modules. So for example, I give a map in this direction. So the map in this direction is given by the following matrix, 1 minus phi inverse phi 0, phi inverse phi 0, phi minus phi. Okay. So you have very explicit maps, which you have a map F and you have a map in the other direction, and you can check that it is an isomorphism. Okay. So this means that the hyperbolic module, the philosophy of this theorem, is that the hyperbolic modules are cofinal in some sense. In other words, any quadratic module or any even Hermitian module is a direct summand in an hyperbolic module. But now an hyperbolic module is of course a direct summand in some AN, because A is fancy generated projective, and therefore you deduce from this that the orthogonal group of E phi 0 or the unitary group of E phi are direct summands, are included in some unitary group of H of AN or orthogonal group of H of AN. So these groups play the role, these groups play the role of the general near group. Okay. That's exactly the same philosophy. If you don't have even modules, then this theorem is not true. So you have a problem. Okay. I would like to introduce also another category, but I don't want you to be bored. So let me go to something more interesting, which is a class construction. The subject of my second lecture was to define higher K theory, or higher Hermitian K theory. Okay? So we have defined KQ0, okay? And of course we can define KQ1. So let's take a notation. We write UNN epsilon of A to be the automorphism, the unitary group of H of AN. And ONN epsilon of A to be the orthogonal group of H of AN. These, in fact, are classical groups. Let me explain why. So let me give examples, just to see, to get out of the abstraction. Okay? The simplest example, let's come back to Lie groups, for example. Okay, so let's take A to be the real numbers, which is the simplest ring from the point of view of topology. Okay, so what should be, of course, 2 is invertible, so I don't have to distinguish between unitary group and orthogonal group. And you can ask, well, what is ONN 1 of R? Of course, this is the orthogonal group which respect of the linear automorphism with respect to a quadratic form with n positive square and n negative square. And this is classically called ONN in this theory. And this has a homotopy type of usual orthogonal group cross ON. This is a maximal compact subgroup. Okay. Now, if you take ONN minus 1 of R, then you get a synthetic group over real numbers, and this has a homotopy type of UN. If you take A called C, then you have either the trivial involution or the complex conjugation. So if you take A bar equal A, which is a trivial involution, then ONN 1 of C is just so-called O2N over the complex numbers, and this has a homotopy type of O of 2N. And ONN minus 1 of C is just the symplectic group over the complex numbers, and this has a homotopy type of not the same symplectic group as before, but what the topologists call SPN, okay, which is a group of symplectic matrices. If you want, it's a unitary group with the quaternions involved. Okay. So these are classical D groups. Okay. And if you take A bar equal complex conjugation, then ONN 1 of C is ONN minus 1 of C, and these are multiple type of UN cross UN. And I leave you as an exercise what happened for the quaternions. Okay, in fact, there are two involutions of first kind, second kind, and just leave you as an exercise. So in other words, these groups are classical D groups. Okay, so they are not coming from the abstraction, they are just well known for people working in D groups. Okay. Now, we'd like to define higher K theory in the same spirit as Quillen. There is also a so-called Karubi-Villamayor K theory, but I don't have time to consider that. So, first of all, one has to define KQ1 as we defined K1 last time. So this is just, let's take the max category, for example, the min category. So that's the orthogonal group divided as a conversion group. So you see, we are just so this is in the same spirit as Bass. Okay. Now, what is nice also, like in the usual K theory, is that the commutator subgroup, I forgot to say what is the orthogonal group, by the way. So I just take the limit of all ON. Okay, so I should have defined here somewhere that O epsilon of A is a direct limit, the co-limit of ONN. As we do for K theory, okay, usually. So this is an infinite orthogonal group. Okay. Now, if you take the commutator subgroup and you take the second homology of that, so this is KQ2 epsilon of A. And that's Milnor's definition. Well, I should have Milnor Matsumoto, in fact. Now, if you want to define KQN, We just mimic Quillen definition, and we take pi n, Pn of BO epsilon A plus for n bigger than 1. Okay. Just, we are just mimicking Quillen point of view. Okay. No, okay. Now you can ask what will we win. So let me just, I'm not following the order of my notes, okay? Just to, it's good to not to follow exactly the notes. So let me state one, at least one theorem, which is not trivial, which is about periodicity theorem, okay? So, but before, let me just make at least one computation. So what can we say about KQ2 minus 1 max of Z? Okay, what is this group? Okay. Well, if you look at the definition of Milner, it's just H2 of the syntactic group over Z. Okay. Now, what is this group? It is well known, it was computed by Matsumoto. In fact, if I remember well, it's just Z. Okay. And the fact of Z, in fact, is of topological nature. So what we should, to see this fact of Z, one has to embed Z in the real numbers. Okay. And you have a map from KQ2 minus 1 max of Z to KQ2 minus 1 of the real numbers. Okay. But then you remember, you recall that R is not an abstract ring, it's just a ring with a topology. Okay. So we can, so this is just pi 2 of B O minus 1 of R plus. Okay. But this goes to pi 2 of B O minus 1 B of the symplectic group over R, but with usual topology. Okay, we remember that R has a topology. Okay, and we know very well what is this group. This is pi 2 of BU, and by Bott periodicity, this is Z. Okay, so there is a Bott generator in this group, and one way to view Matsumoto's theorem is that, in fact, this element, which generates Z here, as its image, the Bott element there. Okay, so that's a statement that there is an element U in KQ2 minus 1 of Z which maps to the Bott generator. So what is the use of this? As I said, I want to state one theorem. We show that Hermitian K-theory is really different from algebraic cases. For the moment, we are just see analogy. Okay? We have not seen differences. Okay. So let me define the Witt group Wn epsilon of A to be the co-kernel of the map going from Kn of A to KQn epsilon of A. This map is just induced by the hyperbolic functor. Okay, you have a map from GLR to ORR epsilon of A. We just find a matrix alpha to the 2x2 matrix alpha 0, 0, T alpha inverse. One has to be careful when I say T alpha, I should have said T alpha bar, in fact. Okay, because if you are dealing with matrices, then the transpose on the level of dual, if you take free modules, you have to take the conjugate, otherwise it does not work. Okay. So you have this map, and on the level of classifying spaces, and on the level of the plus construction, it induces the map this way. Okay. And there is a cut product, which I'm going to define, if I have time today, from Wn epsilon of A tensor Wp eta of Z in Wn plus P epsilon eta of A. There is, in fact, a more general one. Just pick this one. Okay. So here I have to be careful with, if I'm dealing with Z, I should put a max here. Okay. And here I shall put a max or mean. Does not matter. Okay. Now the theorem is the following, that the cut product with U, this element which I've constructed, the U here, which is hidden by the blackboard, induces a map a group map from Wn epsilon of A to Wn plus 2 minus epsilon of A. Okay. And this map is almost an isomorphism. To be precise, this map induces, well, okay, we have two cases, in fact. So what can we say about this map? There are two cases. First, if we assume a lambda such that lambda plus lambda bar equal 1, then the kernel, let's call this map beta, then the kernel of beta and the co-kernel of beta are two torsion groups. So in other words, the kernel and co-kernel are vector spaces over the field with two elements. Okay. So if you prefer, if you tensor by Z1/2, then you have an isomorphism. Okay. And in general, this map beta induces an isomorphism between Wn epsilon of A tensor by Z1/2 with okay. So in other words, you have a periodicity of the V group, which you don't. So we don't have in algebraic cases. We have something in V theory which does not occur in algebraic cases. Okay. So I would like to prove this, at least to give a sketch. The sketch of the proof is in the notes. But let me explain you why this might be interesting. The reason why Quillen gives his definition, so let's come back to the history of algebraic case theory. What was the motivation? One of the motivation of Quillen is that if we take, for example, BGLA plus, and we take the homology, we get the same homology as the homology of BGL. That's one of the key properties of the plus construction. But moreover, If you tensor with a rational, with rational coefficients, this is just a symmetric algebra on the graded vector space K1 plus K2 and so on. So for example, the famous computation due to Borel and also to Quinnan is that if you compute the homology of B SLZ or GLZ with rational coefficients, then you get an exterior algebra which generates dimension 5, 9, and so on. Okay. This is a very nice result proved by Borel using arithmetic groups. Okay. So this is one of the motivations of the plus construction. It enables us to compute homology of discrete groups, which we are unable to compute in general. Okay. Of course, Borel computation was done before Quillen, but this was one of the motivations why Quillen was interested in this. Now you can repeat this game for the orthogonal group. Okay. So now what happens for Hermitian K-theory? Exactly the same reason, because BO epsilon of A plus is an H space. Of course, I'm hiding here many facts, like BGL A plus is an H two space. So if you take the homology of BO epsilon A plus exactly in the same spirit as Quillen, you find that this is a symmetric algebra which generates in KQ1 plus KQ2 and so on. Symmetric algebra with rational coefficient. For example, mimicking Borel computation, if you compute the homology of the Kassing space of the synthetic group over Z with rational coefficients, then we find a polynomial algebra which generates in dimension 2, 6, 10, and so on. This is due to Borel also. Okay. So what I'm saying is that the box periodicity here is enables to find these Borel elements, okay, because the V group, what can prove that there is a classifying space for the V group, which is a direct factor in the classifying space of the orthogonal group. Okay, so what I can prove more generally, so that's the theorem, which is a consequence of the previous one, is that this homology, this homology of BO epsilon, of course we cannot recover the full cohomology, because if you take as ring B cross the opposite ring, then you know that we find algebraic K-theory. So you cannot prove a very general theorem about our orthogonal group in general. But what we can prove is that this can be written as a tensor product of M star, where M star is a graded, is a symmetric algebra with M0 equal Q to avoid triviality. And here you have the symmetric algebra over W1 plus W3 and so on. So you see, if you compare the periodicity there and the Borel result, then you find exactly the same thing. Okay. So why I call this the Bott periodicity theorem? Because it's the exact analog of what happens for usual Bott periodicity. Let me explain you why. Let's take an example again. Let's take, for example, A to be the ring of continuous function with real values on a compact space. So you can ask, what is a KQ theory? KQ theory, KQ zero of A, it's a nice exercise. What you are dealing with, you apply Serre-Swan theorem, you want to have modules with quadratic forms, or vector bundles with quadratic forms. But you know, this is Sylvester theorem. When you have a real vector space with a non-general quadratic form, you have a positive part, a negative part. Okay, but with vector bundles, it's exactly the same thing. So what you get is just two copies of the real case theory. Okay, that's an exercise in my book, for example. It's not very difficult. I think the first who noticed this was probably Gelfand and Mischenko, okay, but it's not a very hard result. Okay. And the V group is just a real case theory. Okay. Now we can define Wn top epsilon of A exactly with the same spirit as in algebraic case theory, not taking into account the topology. So in fact, it's much simpler than Quillen definition. Just take the tessellation space of the Banach, of the orthogonal group of the Banach algebra. Okay? And what we get is the real Bott periodicity. Real in two meanings. Real in the sense it is a usual one, and real for the field of real numbers. Okay? So the real Bott periodicity tells us that Wn top of A is isomorphic to Wn plus 8 top of A. Okay. That's real Bott periodicity. But what I'm saying is that this theorem on the right is just an analog of it, except with the problem with two torsions. So in fact, there is another theorem, which was also proved by Bott, that Wn 1 top of A is isomorphic to Wn plus 2 minus 1 top of A more two torsions. Now, if you compare what I'm writing here, and what I wrote on the right, you find exactly the same stuff. Okay. So this implies in particular that Wn algebraic, if I insist about the algebraic definition, tensor by Z1/2, isomorphic to Wn top tensor by Z1/2. Okay. That's why I call this Bott periodicity in the discrete setting. Okay? And this is, I think, very nice, because we don't have that in algebraic case. We have weaker version of Bott periodicity, but never on the level of groups. Okay. So let me spend the last minute to see what technology is behind that. We need a technology from algebraic topology. We need a spectrum. For K groups and for KQ groups. And this has been done a long time ago. So let me just sketch the spectrum. So the idea to have a spectrum, you see, we have defined Kn groups and KQn groups for n positive. The idea of a spectrum is that we would like to define Kn, KQn for n negative in a quite functorial way. So what should be K minus 1, K minus 2, and so on? Okay. And what should be the interest of having such definition? Okay. Now, there is a nice way to do it. In fact, it was done independently by Wagoner and myself. We use, well, in fact, it was also done by Bass. So, in fact, there are three people involved. There is Bass, Wagoner, I think Gerstein also, and myself, in very different spirits. And the idea, that was not the idea of Bass, but it was the idea of the three other people, was to use the notion of suspension of a ring, which is not the usual suspension by taking a ring of continuous function with a circle, something which is more subtle. The idea is to embed the ring A, like in a sheaf theory, in kind of flabby ring. So we want to embed A, or more precisely, the ring of matrices, in what we call the cone of A, and the quotient we call the suspension. So what is a cone of A? It's just a set of infinite matrices, Aij, but A, I, and J belongs to N, and we assume that on each row, in each column, there is a finite number of non-zero elements. Okay, so each row, each column has a finite number of non-zero elements. The motivation for the definition is coming from Hilbert space. This is for example, the analog of this in operator algebra is to take the ring of compact operator in Hilbert space, and CA should be the ring of bounded operator in Hilbert space. But we want an algebraic version of that. So we take this definition. Why we take this definition is because we want a ring. If we don't have this condition, we don't have a ring. Okay? And the ring of finite matrices is an ideal here, and we take the quotient, this is called suspension. Okay. And now we define k minus 1 of A to be k0 of suspension, and so forth. So inductively, we define k minus n to be k0 of the n suspension. Okay. I don't have time to give motivation for that, so just want to give the definitions right. We come back to this on Friday. And what is a spectrum? So I want to have the definition straight. So it's page 12 on my second set of lectures. So I define the spectrum of algebraic K-theory to be the loop space of BGL of Sn plus 1a plus, if n is positive, and K of a n is omega minus n of BGL plus if n is negative. Okay. So what we like is that in the spectrum you have always omega of the xn plus 1 as a multiple type for an omega spectrum. You want to have this, and this is true here because of precisely Gerstein-Wagoner theorem, which I've not quoted. Okay. One has to remark that K of A0 has a motivic type of K0 of A cross BG and A plus. And that's exactly Gerstein-Wagoner theorem. But there is a mistake which is in the literature, and I think I made the same mistake. Okay, so this this is not natural. Okay. So one has to be a little bit careful when you define the spectrum of algebraic K-theory, not to put at the zero spectrum what we naively write K0 of A cross BGL plus, because there is a problem. For example, if you have a group action, then it doesn't work. And you have the same thing for KQ. Okay, you just mimic the definition, you replace GL by either the orthogonal group or the unitary group. Okay. So that's part of the technology you need to prove this theorem and more general. Okay, so this is in fact a consequence of a much more general theorem, which I would like to prove in next lectures. Okay, but I think I have to stop. Well, of course, what is missing here is this cup product, and of course, what's the idea of the proof of the theorem? Okay, well, I shall explain this on Friday.